Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your not sure if I can do dry January, but I'm going to try. I have too much leftover cheese in my fridge. Will you come over to help me eat it? I bought a really gimmicky weight loss device called Lumen, and I'm embarrassed that I did, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your new calendar opening, kitchen layout changing, no more taking morning naps in 2022, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
Pepper's ghost.
Huh?
AKA, when people think they're seeing holograms,
yeah,
they're seeing Pepper's ghost. It's a technology that's been around for decades. Back in the olden times, they used this, and I am going to show you how it works.
I thought for a moment you were getting your phrase mixed up, like instead of ghost pepper, you like you were going to talk about the hot sauce that burns everybody's esophagus when it's going down.
Nope, nope. You won't have to eat an entire loaf of white bread and chug milk after this topic. What about you, Kathleen?
I am talking about productivity dysmorphia.
What's that?
So
I suppose we should wait until you talk about it in your segment.
No, I mean, I'll explain it here. I'll give you the cliff notes. So you know what body dysmorphia is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see your body in a way in which your body really isn't like you think you're fatter than you are, stuff like that. Well, productivity dysmorphia is when you believe that you're not being productive and you start getting down on yourself, but you have a distorted view about what normal productivity looks like because, you know, this is America and we're obsessed with being ultra efficient.
Yes. Oh, that makes so much sense. There have been days where I'm thinking I have done nothing today.
Yeah.
And then I realize, oh, I've put out a podcast and I've answered a bunch of emails and I've also done a bunch of this stuff around the house and also,
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's a good thing to be aware of.
Well, happy 2022, my friend.
And also with you, Kathleen. We were talking before the podcast started. You stayed up until 12:05.
12:05, yes.
I had some friends over. I was in bed and asleep by 9 p.m. Proudly so. Proudly so.
Yeah, you know, no shame in that. Absolutely no shame in that.
No.
I have been learning that it's just not worth it to stay up late. It's more worth it to have a regularly scheduled bedtime because then all of the hormones in your brain are like, yes, let's work properly because we've had a full night's sleep.
Yeah, I slept through Y2K. And I feel like if sleeping through the new millennia is millennium, which is plural and which is singular. Millennium is one. Millennia is multiple.
You're asking the wrong person. I still think that the plural of octopus is octopuses.
I think sleeping through the new millennium, if that's the one to stay up for, I don't need to stay up for anything else.
So can I tell you about this thing I bought?
Please. I've never heard of this. What's going on?
Bethany, it's called a Lumen.
Lumen.
Sometime in the depths of my despair and depression in January, I was like,
honey, we're only 3 days into January.
Oh, did I say January? Yeah. I meant December.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, Kathleen, you need to get control of your weight because now I think I have sleep apnea and I'm like waking myself up at night because I can't breathe.
Oh,
and
honey.
So I'm not down on myself, but the weight is literally down on my esophagus and I can't breathe. My airways are collapsing. So anyway, I bought this thing. It's called a Lumen and it looks like a vape pen.
It sure does.
You open it up and it connects to an app on your phone and you breathe in big breaths and then you release the breath back into the device. And on your app, it tells you if your body is burning fat or carbs.
How can it tell through your breath?
I don't know.
Okay.
I did some mild Googling before I purchased it and it seemed like, 75% legit. So I was like, okay, let me try this. When you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to be burning fat.
Yeah.
You haven't eaten. You've been fasting. So this morning I was like, okay, new year, same me, but like, you know, slightly better habits.
Sure.
And so I took a big breath from my lumen and I exhaled out and it's like, you were burning 100% carbs last night. What the hell have you eaten in the past 3 to 4 days?
It just started smoking and stopped working.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's like, you know how you're supposed to fast at night and not eat too late because your body needs some time to digest and I don't know. I mean, you know when you eat a really big meal late at night and then you wake up in the morning feeling like shit?
Yeah. You feel kind of hungover.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's, I don't know, Bethany.
Okay. So I'm looking at this thing.
Yeah.
And it says it's going to hack your metabolism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a biohack tool.
Okay. So under our story, Lumen began with twin sisters, Marav and Michal, two Ironman winners and PhDs in physiology. As scientists and athletes, they were passionate about developing a way to provide personalized nutrition, but knew the only way to measure metabolism was costly and time consuming. So then they partnered up with a bunch of stuff.
I'm a sucker. I'm
no, you're not a sucker. You're not a sucker. I mean, look.
Yeah.
I think here's what I think about stuff like this.
Yeah.
I think it is helpful if you're someone who is able to have a healthy relationship with the results it gives you.
Yeah.
But because you and I have eating disorders, we cannot have healthy relationships with the results this thing gives us because it will be another thing for us to obsess about.
No, you're right. You're kind of right. Maybe I shouldn't have purchased this.
But you know what? But I also am like, talk to your doctor. You know,
yes,
it might be information that's useful.
I have a new nutritionist/therapist for starting this week. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Bring it up with them. Bring it up. Look, we all try things. And this is what our phones allow us to do is shop our problems away in the middle of the night when we're having intrusive thoughts.
Did you have a good time visiting your family over Christmas?
I did. It was wonderful. I met my dad's cat for the first time, or as I call her, my half-sister. Her name is Abby. Kathleen, here's the thing about Abby.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how cats and a lot of animals are built where their front legs are one length and then their back legs are a little bit longer because they're jointed?
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, they have longer back legs. So when you pick a cat up, you sort of, you learn to counterbalance by sort of keeping the front higher because the back weighs more and you want to make sure that you sort of cradle. My dad's cat, Abby, is built like a corgi. So her back legs are the same height as her front legs. She gets stuck on rugs.
Oh.
And she was trying to climb into a very short box. Mm-hmm. And she's top heavy because her head is on the one side too. And so she fell head first into the box because her back legs weren't heavy enough to keep her down. She's the funniest, cutest. She's like if a cat had four peg legs, like it was a pirate cat and it had four peg legs. That's Abby.
Abby must be related to a tomcat in some capacity because tomcats, sometimes they're like short. They have these squat little legs.
I thought a tomcat was just like a horny cat.
No, I think a tomcat is shaped like a tomcat.
What's a tom? No, tomcat's a breed of cat?
Something like that.
Wait. A tomcat. Pets.thenest.com. If you've heard unearthly blood-curdling screams and howls of animals fighting at night, chances are you have been listening to a tomcat. A tomcat is a sexually mature male cat that has not been de-sexed and is prone to fighting over females and territory.
Oh, okay. So, okay, never mind. I take it all back. Wait. I thought tomcats had short legs.
Tomcats tend to have heavier, more muscular bodies and thicker necks. They also have large faces with jowls.
Yeah.
This does not occur in cats that are neutered. Okay. And they tend to not groom very much, and they usually have battle scars. So they're just like, they're horny male cats.
They have battle scars from life just like the rest of us.
They have shorter legs than they should, just like most of us.
Well, I'm glad that you had an overall positive experience with your family. Nobody was like insulting. Nobody said anything awkward.
Here's the thing. I don't think anyone was insulting or said anything awkward, which means that I was probably the one who was insulting and said things that were awkward because it always happens over the holidays. And if you don't think it happened, you were the one who caused it. What about you, Tedlin? Did you have any run-ins over the holidays?
Someone told me that I look so much prettier when I'm not wearing too much makeup. I was like, Thanks.
Who said that to you?
No, I'm not. You know who said it to me, and I'm not even gonna tell. I'm not even gonna say it out loud.
You have to have a conversation with your mom and tell her that these things hurt your feelings. Kathleen, you poor thing, Kathleen. You just had a rough go of it.
Bethany.
Honey.
Okay, what I'm trying to coax out of you, which you are avoiding saying, is that before the pod, you were talking about talking to your grandma, you feel like you're in the Matrix.
I completely forgot. I just lost track of that. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yes. So I did see my grandmother over the holidays, and dodging my grandmother's passive aggressive guilt trips and insults is like a lifelong learning process and a skill. And now I feel like Neo in the Matrix, where she shoots them at me, but I see them in bullet time and I'm able to bend over backwards and dodge them as they come shooting by. Like, oh, it's such a shame I've not met Dennis yet. Well, she has met him before. Well, it's too bad the girls couldn't come visit me. And we just don't respond.
Maybe there should be a thing that we all do in the year 2022 where when anybody gives you a gentle insult, you just yell in their face, Matrix mode! And you start moving your arms backward.
Bullet time!
Gush, gush, gush. You will not affect me.
Or you do the final Neo thing where you hold your hand out and you go, no. And the bullets just stop and drop to the ground. No, Grandma. Not anymore. This stops now. And I just hold my hand out towards you. Oh, it's a shame, Beth, that you never come see me and stop my insult.
Hey, Bethany.
What?
New year, same you, better hydration.
Oh, that's the theme for 2022. New year, same you, better hydration.
Yeah, and that's why Bethany and I have been longtime partners with Liquid IV. We can't get enough of this stuff. It's this little packet full of powder, magic powder. You pour it into water, you mix, and when you drink it, you feel so much better and you have more energy. I have friends who, before they go on vacation, where they know they're going to be consuming a lot of cocktails, they're extra nice to me because they're trying to hit me up for my my reserves of Liquid IV. And I'm like, I know what you're doing. Back away, buy your own at Costco.
So one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you faster and more efficiently than just water alone. Because it has 5 essential vitamins, B3, B, all of your B friends, plus vitamin C. It has 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients and it's none of the stuff you don't want. So there's no gluten or dairy or soy in there.
And if you're wondering, hey, Bethany and Kathleen, what makes Liquid IV so effective? Let me tell you about the science of cellular transport technology.
It's science!
Liquid IV is designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other key ingredients into your bloodstream. So you know it's like, hey, bloodstream, pow, 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 pow. There's your hydration.
And that's science. I love it. I have an actual hydration station in my kitchen, which is like a clear cube stocked with Liquid IV. So if you're ever thirsty, you just go over there, grab one, and you're ready to go.
What's your favorite flavor?
Guava. But they also have a white cherry that I'm obsessed with. What about you?
So tangerine is my number one of all time, but I've been like really loving the pina colada flavor lately.
And you can get your own. You don't have to go to Kathleen's house. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and then use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off of anything you order when you use promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com.
Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TASTE.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
Have you ever heard of the term productivity dysmorphia?
Until you said it in segment one, I had never heard about it in my entire life.
So this was written about in Refinery 29.
God bless them.
Yeah. Back in September by this journalist. Her name is Anna Cordarato. She is an author of books and she has something called productivity dysmorphia. And she says, whenever I am asked about my work, I dodge the question. Earlier this year, I published my first book, and whenever someone remarks about how proud I must be, a bubble of shame grows inside of me because, well, I'm just not. In an attempt to rid myself of that feeling, I do more work. I work harder. I endeavor to be more productive. And as two people who are not authors, if someone told me they wrote a book, I would be like, oh shit, oh my god,
a whole one. Like, you didn't just start it but not finish it.
It's not just the cliff notes of a book. You actually wrote that book. Much like body dysmorphia, where you look in the mirror and you see something that's not the reflection reflecting back at you. Do you ever feel like you don't get a chance to fully enjoy your accomplishments in this life, in this precious life that we are living currently, as opposed to the next one?
Right. The next one where I'm a house cat because I've done everything right. So I'm going to be rewarded.
Do you ever feel like you are looking at your productivity through a distorted lens and therefore you can't enjoy your successes as they stand?
Oh, completely. I do not let myself get excited or proud of the majority of my accomplishments. Like Dennis will tell you, he gets so frustrated with me because something exciting will happen and I won't get that hyped about it. It's just because, I don't know, it's never exactly what I want it to be. So unless it's something that I've really gone for hard that I get, I don't really get excited about little wins because I don't see them as the level of win I want to be having, if that makes sense. Like the last thing I actually got excited about was when we filmed these like little titles. Like, you know, like when you're watching a station, like a television station, and they come up with like a NBC, like in the middle of whatever, they'll just like give their logo info.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloody Disgusting has a streaming channel, and we filmed a couple things for Bloody Disgusting streaming channel, and they got accepted, and they've been airing, and I let myself get excited about that, because I think Bloody Disgusting is iconic. But aside from that, I don't get excited about most stuff because it just doesn't feel worthy of being excited about. Like, I feel like it, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling because I feel this so deeply that.
No.
Yes. I feel like I never accomplish anything.
Okay. So that is a problem. It's a modern day society problem.
Okay.
We've talked about imposter syndrome on this podcast before.
Yeah.
A good way to describe productivity dysmorphia is the intersection of burnout, imposter syndrome, and anxiety. Think of it like ambition's alter ego. So if you're ambitious, that's a really good thing to be. But like the alter ego of being ambitious is being ambitious to a fault. Being so ambitious that in the pursuit of productivity, you're robbing yourself of the ability to savor any success
that you
might encounter along the way.
That's literally the problem. It's never good enough, no matter what. And it's like perfectionism is in there too, because nothing you do is ever good enough.
Never good enough. And so I was shocked when the author of this article, Do I Have Productivity Dysmorphia, Anna Cotarato, she told Business Insider that even though she published her first book, in her mind, it wasn't a real book because her book was a nonfiction business title. And in her mind, she thought of a real book as being like a fiction book, a fantastical story that someone dreamed up. And hers was just like, meh. Hers was just like a nonfiction business book. And you and I are laughing about this because we are not authors as of yet, Bethany, just added to the list. But that blows my mind.
We all have those caveats.
Yes.
It would be this except for this. And I think it's like thinking that it's a combination of imposter syndrome and this a level of narcissism.
Yeah.
Because we think we're so special that what we do isn't worthy of being praised.
Yeah.
But everyone else is worthy of being praised. It's like a messed up version of being so full of yourself that you hate yourself the most.
Is the problem quotes like you're made for more? Yeah. Like the core issue of this?
Yeah, it's like I'm made for more. And so everything down here sucks.
You know how you tell children, shoot for the stars. You could be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to start curbing things like productivity dysmorphia at an early age and telling our children, like, it's okay if you just grow up to be an accountant. It's fine.
An accountant is a hard job.
Yeah, like, yeah. Or like, I don't know, a street sweeper.
Yeah.
Like the streets need to be cleaned. And if you're the right person to do that job, like, yes, you've shot for the stars in that way.
Like tiny child that I have had and is in my home and legally is mine.
Yeah.
If you become nothing but a Dickensian chimney sweep, I will be proud of you. Because maybe you don't make the most money. but God damn it, you're dancing on those rooftops like a motherfucker.
I had a friend who she's looking for a new job, and she got a really awesome interview with an awesome company, Uncommon Goods.
Whoa, we love them.
That was exactly my reaction. I was like, Uncommon Goods, that would be an amazing company to work for. They have the best Uncommon Goods.
Yeah, I got a robe from them over Christmas.
Once I got a vegetable packet, a seasoning packet, where it's like, this is for your cauliflower, this is for your green beans. Yeah. And it was one of my most treasured things that I've owned.
I love them.
So I blew up her spot at the bar. I was out for drinks with my friends. And this particular friend isn't one to get excited until something's really happening.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, you guys, let's give her a different name. Let's call her, I don't know, Christine. I was like, you guys, Christine just got an interview with Uncommon Goods. Isn't that cool? She's like, why are you doing this to me? Stop. And everyone was like, wow, like what an honor to even be asked to be interviewed by them, because they're an awesome company.
Yeah.
And we don't even see getting an interview with a really good company as even being an honor, because it's not an honor until you got the job. Well, that's not necessarily right, because even to be considered for a company like, I don't know, Uncommon Goods, Facebook, Google, or Meta, whatever Facebook is calling themselves, that would be an honor.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if I was talking to Christina, I would be saying the same thing, because it's true.
Yeah.
But for me, and I'm sure for Christina and everyone else who suffers from this,
yeah,
it's also a level of not wanting to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get the job, you don't want to be more disappointed than normal. So I think there's also that. You know, if you get an audition, I don't let myself get excited, because if I don't get it, like, then I don't want to get so invested in the role that I don't, that I can't handle it when I don't get the job.
I understand that completely. But let me take it one step further. Is it that kind of attitude, not just in you, Bethany, but, you know, in all of us, I think millennials and above, you know, people who are, always feel like they're made for more. Let's say you got the job and then you tell yourself, let's not get excited about it because it's just a pilot and we don't know if it's going to take off.
Totally.
And then it takes off and you're like, okay, let's not get excited about it because it's only season one and we don't know if we're going to.
Yeah, we don't know if it'll get renewed. Yeah.
And so it's like, at what point do we allow ourselves to be excited for accomplishments and productivity? Anna Cordorado, she went on Twitter and she's like, okay, productivity dysmorphia. I want to know if other people are suffering from the same thing. One tweet came up. It's from this designer. His name is Ben Yetta, a California-based designer. And he wrote, I wrestle with the fact that I'm happy with a certain amount of internal conflict when I'm being creative, but I also feel a sense of letdown after achieving something big. And he said that when his YouTube, DIY YouTube channel hit 1 million subscribers, he said he honestly felt zero satisfaction because all he was thinking about is, what do I do next?
Isn't that interesting? Mm. It's so interesting. It is. It's the always looking forward and never looking in the moment.
Yeah.
Not to always bring up Dennis, but literally he's the only person I see right now.
Yeah.
He used to do a podcast where he would interview filmmakers. And one of the filmmakers he interviewed, I don't remember the name, but the guy had won an Oscar for, I think, a documentary he did or a short film. And he said that, like, the day after he won the Academy Award, literally the highest award in America you can get for filmmaking, he was just like, well, I still can't get hired, or like, welp, I still don't know where the next job is coming. Or, you know, like, he was immediately like, I'll never get another job again.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way our brains work. And it sucks.
It's the way that society, particularly I think Western society, looks at these things. And maybe I'm speaking too broadly. I think definitely in America and definitely in Britain. I'm not sure about the other European countries, because sometimes I feel they're a little bit more lax about this stuff.
Like, in France, they're like always on holiday.
Yeah. Well, in a recent episode of Emily in Paris, Emily, who's an American working in Paris, you know, that's the title of the show.
Yeah.
She keeps calling her coworkers after 5 o'clock or on the weekends, and they are like, hey, I'm picking up the phone, but you know, we're not supposed to be working right now. It's illegal.
Which is so amazing.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
I know. I mean, you know, America, we'll never have that. Other people responded on Twitter about their productivity dysmorphia. There was a mother who was training to row over 3,000 miles across the Atlantic in 40 days. She was training and sleeping in 90-minute bursts, because that's what you have to do when you're rowing across the Atlantic, and she still felt like she wasn't accomplishing enough. She wasn't being productive enough.
That's awful. That's awful.
And a recent philosophy graduate responded and said she feels like her degree is less than. It's not really a real degree because she got it during COVID.
Oh my gosh. But here's the thing. I can also see all of that because you're so in it that you don't let yourself pull back and see the big picture, which is you got a degree. Like, you got a degree in something that's hard to get a degree in because no one really knows what philosophy is anyway. Or you're rowing, you're training to row and you're only sleeping for 90 minutes. It's just being so micro-focused on our own lives that we don't ever pull back to see the larger picture and go like, oh, no, you're right. That is actually a pretty impressive thing I just did.
So it's funny you say that because I just bought a corkboard that's as tall as I am.
Okay.
Last year, I was like, I'm going green. And I invested in this like digital notepad in my iPad, which I love. I love it. But also, I think as a creative person, I need something visual. So I just purchased, and I'll link it in the show notes. I just purchased a huge corkboard that I'm going to hang on the wall. And I'm going to put on, you know, very old school, put on, what do you call it? Index cards. That's it. Yeah. I can't believe I almost forgot the word to index cards. It's been so long.
It's all right.
Index cards. And I'm just going to write down things that I want to accomplish so I can start seeing it literally build up over the year 2022, as opposed to having like, I don't know, some sort of like semi-visual chart in my mind, but it doesn't feel as concrete as when you can like hang it on the wall. Do you have any plans for 2022? I know you've been talking about how at the end of 2021 you weren't feeling that creative and you're feeling, you know, your depression is really bad lately. What are your plans for 2022 creatively?
So planning on front loading a lot of shooting. So we're shooting, as this comes out, actually, we're shooting a film right now. We're shooting it over 2 weeks at the beginning of this month.
Yeah.
And then also filming a couple of other things this month to just like, to just get stuff done.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We were doing a lighting and camera test over the weekend, and just doing that made me feel so much better than I felt in over a year. But I think also what I need to do is make a list every day of stuff that I've done, not stuff I need to do or want to do, but things that I've finished that day so that I don't feel like I've done nothing, because I always feel like I've done nothing and I don't know where the day has gone.
Yes.
And it's like, what did I do all day? Because I've accomplished nothing.
And the thing is that even when I've had a really productive day where I've accomplished like 10,000 things, my body is like, there's, you still had more to do and you didn't get the whole list done. And then I fall into this cycle of where I don't let myself sleep.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel worthy of sleep.
What's that called? Revenge bedtime?
Yeah, revenge bedtime.
Yeah. Yes. That's, I've never met anyone who did that until you talked about it. And then I know we had a bunch of people come out and say, oh, that's me too.
Yeah.
But like punishing yourself by not going to bed.
Yeah.
It blows my mind because sleeping is my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. I punish myself by not, I mean, and I will fall asleep on the couch when I'm watching TV or something, but the routine of like going to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, washing my face, like doing all the things you like to do before you like slip into bed for your official nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, this is nighttime. I'm going to sleep. I punish myself by not doing those things because those things in my mind are a luxury. And if I haven't gotten everything done on my list that day, I do not deserve luxuries.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know. And I was, you know, reading about productivity dysmorphia, and people with OCD, productivity dysmorphia is very likely to affect them because they are always looking for praise from teachers, from colleagues. And if they don't get that praise, they just work harder. And then once they get that praise, that's it. It's done. And it's time to find the next way to get praise. And also people with ADHD, like I have, also have similar struggles where it's always on to the next thing. Even if you didn't finish the first thing, you're on to the next thing. And then sometimes your view of productivity can be skewed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just some food for thought for the year 2022.
Wow. Oh, it's incredible. And it's also so heartening to know that you are not the only one who feels this way. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that I've been learning recently, too, is that a million things that you think are your own unique struggles that you deal with every single day, there are a million other people who deal with the exact same thing. And it's so wonderful to find that out, because it's like, oh, I don't have to figure this all out on my own. You know, someone else has already struggled with it, and someone else has probably already made headroads and figured out little tricks and tips on how to, you know, get better.
And you and I work for ourselves, so a lot of this is an internal struggle. Mm-hmm. But people who work for big corporations, especially people, female employees, employees who are people of color, employees who come from marginalized groups, a lot of the times this is also affecting them because they have to work twice as hard than their colleagues to just get credit for the same shit that their colleagues are doing, which fucking sucks.
Or they do something and their colleague takes credit for it.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, I look like the asshole if I step forward.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important to be an ally in the workplace.
Yes.
By the way. If you see someone, if you saw someone do the work and you see someone else in the meeting take credit for it, the person who did the work may not have the ability or the cachet to speak up for themselves. It's your job to speak up for them. Just a little PSA.
Oh, I love that phrase, Bethany, the cachet.
I'm drinking my tea. Yeah, it's true. They may not have, quote unquote, the right in your boss's mind to say something or defend themselves. So you have to defend them.
Yes. If your colleague doesn't have the cachet, you should have the panache to step up
and then bring them a way
to get them the accomplishment that they deserve.
And then reward them by bringing them a souffle or flambé.
We could talk. I mean, honestly, we could talk about this for a whole hour, you know?
Yes.
The ways in which productivity dysmorphia is holding us back or giving us this feeling like we should always shoot for the stars when maybe we should just shoot for, I don't know, the streetlight or something.
Yeah.
Dr. Kate Daly, she's a clinical psychologist at the workplace mental health platform called Unmind. This is what she says that we can do to help us combat productivity disorder. She says, the key is to identify your thought process. You need to sort of take things slowly and stop down when you accomplish something big and write down what you're feeling. I have 1 million subscribers on YouTube, or I don't know, something even smaller than that. Today, I got the raise at work that I asked for. How are you feeling in that moment? What kind of insight can you give yourself about how you're going to feel about it tomorrow? Are you still going to be proud of yourself tomorrow? Or tomorrow, you're going to wake up and be like, meh, that was yesterday. What's on my plate for today? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to remind yourself the next day, wow, that was a huge accomplishment. I'm very proud of myself. Now I'm going to keep doing my best while still remaining proud of myself. Mm-hmm. That will give you the insight to do something about challenging the way that you think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because we pretend that we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're honest with yourself and you're like, I know I'm not going to give myself credit for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You can suddenly be a little bit more conscious and aware and present in that moment.
And it's not only about really being proud of yourself for the big things that you do, but what about the small things? You know, like I'm trying to be a runner, and instead of saying, oh man, my time on my last 5K wasn't good, maybe I should just be proud of myself for getting out and jogging.
Oh, fully.
On a Sunday night, you know?
Totally. Especially on a Sunday night. That's the laziest time of the week.
I'm going to change my mindset and be proud of myself for the baby steps as opposed to the giant leaps.
Yes, I think so too, because the giant leaps are easier to be excited about. Mm-hmm. But if you have these little things, especially the ones that are consistently hard for you, if you do that one day, if you get it done one day, even if you take a step towards it one day, you have to be proud of yourself because it's hard for a reason. It was difficult for you, so acknowledge when you did it. Mm. I say, knowing fully well, I'm not going to do that for myself.
No, Bethany, we have to, both of us, 2022, be proud of the baby steps.
Yeah, because baby's legs aren't strong enough to walk, so my God, you're a miracle.
That's, you know what, it is. It's a big deal when a baby takes a step.
I know. Kathleen, I was shaving my legs over the weekend because I'm classy. And as I was going over my knee, I literally thought to myself, thank God this is an Athena Club razor. Because if I was using any other razor, I would be asking for blood transfusions. Knees are the scariest part of your body to shave. And because I have an Athena Club razor, I don't get cut.
I cannot say enough good things about Athena Club, because once upon a time, I was one of those people that's like, this razor isn't that rusty.
You had the same disposable cheap razor for a year.
I did. And you know, it's because sometimes razors at the drugstore, they charge you extra because, you know, it's made for women. But that doesn't happen with Athena Club, because their razor kit is only $9. And it comes with two blade heads, an amazing magnetic hook for your shower. Plus, I have my Athena Kit Razor Club subscription set up to send me razors every 2 months. So I'm never like, well, you know, a little bit of rust won't kill me. I have a fresh blade whenever I need it.
Plus, these aren't your regular blades. They are surrounded by a water-activated serum that has shea butter and hyaluronic acid, so your skin is getting nice and lubed up as you're getting shaved.
Because, you know, it's always good to get lubed up before you do anything.
Absolutely. I get lubed up before I go grocery shopping.
Also, I love their Cloud Shave Foam. It's the best shaving cream that I've ever used. And I'm not really a shaving cream person, but I am now. I'm a Cloud Foam shaving cream person.
And like Kathleen said, $9. You are not seeing a pink tax on that. So show your skin you care with Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE. That's athenaclub.com with the promo code TASTE for 20% off.
Kathleen, I just put together all of my expenses from 2021 for our accountant, and I realized how much money I'm paying every year in subscriptions, and a lot of things I didn't even realize I was paying for every month or every year.
Don't even tell me that. I have so many things I'm subscribed to that I don't even realize.
Yeah. So I was watching this thing, I think it was on ABC, and they were talking about this guy who was paying $20-something dollars a month for a car he no longer owned. He was paying, I think, for OnStar, and it's like someone else is driving this car, and I'm still paying for the OnStar. So Kathleen, this is why I'm so psyched that we are partnering with Truebill. It's this app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need, that you don't want, or that you simply forgot you even signed up for. So on average, people save up to $720 a year. That's like so much other crap you can buy and not feel guilty about with an extra $720.
Yeah.
And the one thing too is that companies make it hard on purpose for you to cancel subscriptions. I once tried to cancel a subscription and I was on chat for 25 minutes before she would let me cancel it because she kept trying to re-up it or change my mind.
Don't you hate that? They're like, I'll give it to your whole family for $1 a whole year. And you're like, no, I just want to cancel this.
Now you're just insulting me.
Yeah.
All you have to do is link your accounts and then Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions with just one tap. And if you need help, your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel those unwanted subscriptions too.
So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/taste.
Go right now, Truebill.com/taste. It could save you thousands a year.
Truebill.com/taste.
Kathleen,
yeah.
In 1996, Tupac died.
Mm.
16 years later, Tupac performed with Dr. Dre and Snoop at Coachella.
That's right. I remember that. It was scandalous.
It was called a hologram, but it wasn't actually a hologram. The definition technically of a hologram is an image that's produced by light beams. Mm-hmm. It's three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. It's visible to the naked eye. And because it's three-dimensional, you can walk around and see it from all sides. That's a hologram.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a hologram in real life.
I mean, probably not.
Just in the movies and on TV, I've seen holograms.
Yeah, like think Princess Leia being projected out of R2-D2.
Yes.
Being like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. And then she glitches out. But like, you can, that's a hologram.
Okay.
When Tupac was at Coachella, that was actually two-dimensional. And it was done using a theater technique that is 463 years old.
Wow.
It is called Pepper's Ghost. And full disclosure, I have wanted to talk about Pepper's Ghost for a couple of years, but I'm so terrified that it's going to be boring that I haven't done it.
No, Bethany, Pepper's Ghost, not boring, because I'm sitting, you know, I'm like a science person, and if I can one-up anybody at cocktail hour being like, actually, Tupac wasn't a hologram, he was a Pepper's Ghost, not to be confused with Ghost Pepper, but I can also school you on that.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're excited about it, because yeah. I love stuff like this, and I'm going to tell you, Pepper's Ghost has been used in ways that will kind of blow your mind in how mundane they are.
Oh, tell me.
Magic in daily life. So we will get to that. But first, mm-hmm. let's talk about what it is. So Pepper's Ghost, named after Pepper. There was a 19th century British scientist named John Henry Pepper. Now, he popularized this technique because he did a huge demonstration in 1862 and sort of gave this technique a wider audience and showed more people than normal that this is a thing that can be done. And this launched a craze for plays about ghosts in the 1860s and beyond. There was even a shortage of plate glass, because so many theaters were using this technique, and it involves a huge pane of glass. And so if you think about the late 1800s and like how they loved ghosts so much, some of that has to do with this theater technique and it becoming so popular.
I mean, think about it back then. Bethany, a lot of these people didn't even have toilets. They were still using the Sears catalog as their toilet paper. So a semi-hologram, a.k.a. Ghosts Pepper, or Pepper's Ghosts, it was very exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah.
But this is not the first time this was discovered. Like 300 years earlier, in 1558, there was an Italian scientist, and he had the very common name of Giambattista della Porta.
Very common, yes. I think I have a pair of those shoes.
Yeah, I have three of them in my phone. He was the first to write about the illusion in his book Natural Magic. The chapter was called How We May See in a Chamber Things That Are Not. So anyway, he's the first one to really talk about it.
Okay.
So because this was in the late 1800s, moving back then, this was so popular that like theaters would start doing all of these different plays that centered around ghosts. A really popular one was doing A Christmas Carol, because there's three ghosts. And there were specific theater troupes that were called like Pepper's Ghost Theater Troops, and they would go around doing plays that involved this technology. So let's talk about how it's done, Kathleen.
Okay.
Here's what you need. You need two areas or rooms, depending on the size you're using. So we're going to talk about it like a stage. We're going to talk about it in terms of a stage.
Okay.
You also need a plate of glass or plexiglass or clear plastic film. You need something that's completely clear and also reflective.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say we're in a theater. We're going to look at the theater, Kathleen, looking at the stage from the side. So we're on the side of the theater. We can see the stage.
Okay.
We can also see the audience.
Okay.
So picture your main stage area, and then picture a lower area like the orchestra pit, like below the stage. Now here's how Pepper's Ghost is done. You have a pane of glass placed at the edge of the stage. So it's between the audience and the actors, right?
Yeah.
It's at the edge, the lip of the stage, and it's tilted at a 45 degree angle towards the audience.
Okay.
So if you're looking at it from the side, it looks like it's going to fall down into the audience. It's just at a 45 degree.
So downstage, dead center.
Yep.
Tipping towards the audience, 45 degrees. Got it.
Yes. And it spans the entire length of the stage. So it's basically like a movie screen, but tilting down towards the audience. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's very long.
It's huge. All right. Now, if you want, let's say, a dead woman to look like she's appearing on stage, but she's transparent, she's a ghost.
Yeah.
You're going to put the actress playing that dead woman in the orchestra pit, in the lower area.
Got it.
And you're going to shine a light on her. Everything else is dark.
Yeah.
Now, because you're shining a light on her, and this pane of glass is tilted down towards her,
yeah,
she is going to be reflected up into that pane of glass. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So are you uplighting her?
You can uplight her. You can light her directly.
Gotcha.
She's just bright. You need her to be bright.
Got it.
The pane of glass is tilted down towards her. So it's going to pick her up on the glass. She's going to be reflected there. But because the glass is at 45 degrees, the audience is still able to see the reflection because they're still able to see the glass.
Yeah.
Thus, they are going to see her reflected onto the stage. Does that make sense?
Bethany, this is so cool. And the wheels in my mind are spinning right now because I'm going to have a housewarming party for Valentine's Day. By the way, you're invited.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm wondering, like, in what way I can implement this in my apartment to make a grand entrance.
Kathleen, there are so many ways. You can do it with windows. So there, you can do it on a super small scale for photography. This is how ghost photography was often done. You can, there's like YouTube videos where if you have just like two shoeboxes and a smartphone, you can do it. You just have to figure out, you have to there's a million ways you can use it, but that's the basic.
So you know how in the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was going out and clapping for all of the first responders?
Healthcare
workers.
Yeah.
Okay. People don't really do that anymore, even though we should be. I mean,
sure,
we're all still thankful, but like 6 o'clock is a busy time.
Yeah.
What if someone, and this is only work in a city neighborhood, what if someone figured out a way to project Pepper's ghost like into, I don't know, the middle of an avenue where all of these apartment buildings are surrounding, of like someone just clapping for the healthcare workers every single night, like the ghost of how thankful we used to be.
Okay, anyway, here, Kathleen, is where you've seen Pepper's ghost.
Okay.
Well, you haven't because you've never been to Disney World, but Disney World uses this all the time.
Oh.
The big one is in the Haunted Mansion. So, the great thing about that ride is that you are in like a buggy that runs on a track. And typically you are above everything that you're looking at. So it's super easy.
Yeah.
They have these animatronic mannequins doing things below you, and then it's reflected onto the glass, and then you see the scene below, for example, a dinner party.
Yeah.
And you're seeing all of these ghostly apparitions at the dinner party because it's being reflected on the glass that you're looking into.
Cool.
They also have a point where you're looking into ghostly couples dancing in this empty room, and you see like transparent couples dancing. Those are just animatronics below you spinning around.
Wow.
Reflected.
You know what? Maybe Disney is really what it claims to be, a magical kingdom.
It's a magical kingdom. It's the happiest place on earth. This is an example I had not thought of. Teleprompters.
Oh.
Have you ever read a have you ever seen or looked at or read a teleprompter, Kathleen?
I don't know if I've ever seen one in real life, but I see them on TV all the time.
So if you look into a teleprompter, you're reading a script that often needs to be changed last minute. So they can't afford to like rewrite note cards. And also that just takes too long. If you watch Veep, there's a scene where her staff is not able to figure out what script they want to use. And so on her teleprompter, it's just a sad face while they figure out what to type in. So they have a digital projector that projects onto a glass that then projects towards you so you can read it off of this slanted piece of glass. It's a Pepper's ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. If you've been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, guests can enter platform 9 3/4 and look like they're disappearing into a brick wall if people behind them in line are looking. That's a Pepper's ghost. And this is the coolest one that I did not know about.
Okay.
So in 1990, there was a little movie called Home Alone.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know that movie.
Do you remember the scene where Harry, Joe Pesci, he opens a door slowly and then a blowtorch sets his head on fire?
Oh, yeah. One of the most iconic scenes in the movie.
Yes. So CGI was not available at the time. So instead of actually setting his head on fire, the filmmakers set fire to a mannequin head and then used reflective glass to superimpose the image of fire onto Joe Pesci's head. They filmed through the glass and it made it look like his head was on fire.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's so wild. I have a link in the show notes to that scene. You cannot tell, because that's the thing to this technique, this illusion.
Yeah.
The glass or whatever you're using has to be so clear that the audience does not know it's there.
I never, never in a million years would have looked at that scene and been like, that's a trick. You know,
right.
I just thought it was fire and they put a special hat on his head.
Yeah, I just thought they put that like fire protective gel all over him and set his head on fire.
So fun fact about that scene also, after his head gets set on fire, it's a cap with this burned skull sewn into the top of the cap, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. It looks so good. That movie's so good.
I'm never going to watch that movie in the same way now.
No, never, never, never. I watched that scene 3 more times after I learned that fact. I was like, that's amazing. Okay, another way they use it. If you've ever seen heads-up displays in cars, or they also use them in airplanes.
Yeah.
It's the display has info like your speed and your GPS reflected onto your windshield, so you don't have to keep looking down.
Yeah.
That's Pepper's ghost.
Look at this guy. What was his name? Giambattista
Sella something or other.
Yeah. In the 1500s, mm-hmm. he invented this, and it's still being used as like a cutting edge technology today in the year 2022.
Yep. So that brings us back to Tupac.
Doesn't everything always bring us back to Tupac?
Kathleen, every day I'm going, Tupac, here you are again, showing up in my life. So this is a version of Pepper's ghost branded by a company called Musion Eyeliner. And they've done this for a bunch of concerts. Madonna appeared with the band Gorillaz at the Grammy Awards in 2006 using this technique. Hmm. And then Musion Eyeliner did Gorillaz concerts where the fictional animated band members can appear on stage with the actual musicians.
Huh.
In 2014, they earned a Guinness World Record because Indian politician Narendra Modi gave a speech at 53 places simultaneously going for re-election, and he did it using Pepper's ghost.
That is some Hunger Games shit, you know?
Yeah, totally.
President Snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But he won re-election, so it worked.
Crazy.
It's been used by other politicians too. In 2014, I don't know if you remember this, Kathleen, Michael Jackson, who had died 5 years earlier, performed at the Billboard Music Awards.
It's always a strange thing. Like, I get Tupac because it's like a gimmicky thing, and the image of Tupac is on stage with other real, like, living musicians.
Yes.
But like Michael Jackson appearing by himself, like, doesn't that give you a, oh, here we go. It's the uncanny valley. It gives you a sense of unease.
Well, here's what's interesting. So this company uses very thin film instead of glass. It's like super thin film. Yeah. And so the problem is that it can ripple. If it's outside, the wind can blow it and cause ripples. If it's inside,
someone can fart. And
so, yes, exactly. That audience interference is what we call it.
Yes.
Or like strong sound waves can make it ripple too. Oh. So it was rippling during the telecast. And if you watch it back on YouTube videos, they fixed it so you don't see the ripple. But it looked weird at the time. And also, like, yes, Michael Jackson did all these awful things. Mm-hmm. Also, he was, I think, the most charismatic performer we've ever seen.
Interesting.
And so they did his performance with, because it was a song, I don't think he'd ever performed it, if I'm right. So they had a Michael Jackson impersonator do the body movements in the dance, and then they digitally made his face. And not even the Michael Jackson impersonator was able to capture how dynamic Michael Jackson's movements were. Like, it just, there was something missing.
And je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just that his face wasn't 100% perfect. It's just, it had nothing to do with the technology except that you just cannot replicate Michael Jackson because he's just, there's something about his performance that is like unreproducible.
Would you go see, I don't know, what if the same company was putting out a show, A Night with Betty White?
Aww.
Would you go see a show performed by somebody who's dead, who you know is not really there, but looks really real?
Yes. I don't know if I would for Betty White, but because, like, I don't think there's anything you're going to get live from her that you're not going to get just seeing the real her in other things.
Yeah.
But I probably would have, if I had known Tupac was performing at Coachella, I would have wanted to see that. Because that's like, that's iconic. And so he performed two songs. And the first one was a song he had actually performed live. So they used footage from his last live performance at the House of Blues in LA. And so what you're seeing is partially actually him. Like they took the film of him, they moved it into a computer, and they animated over it, right? So like that was actually him. The second one, the duet he did with Snoop, he had never done live. And so they had to build that from scratch.
Interesting.
So I would have wanted to see that because it's fascinating. And you know, I love tech porn. Yeah, I love like behind the scenes, like production porn like this.
What a good word, Bethany. Tech porn.
Tech porn. So lastly, here's how they did the Tupac and these other like Narendra Modi and Michael Jackson, because there's not the person performing it live, right? Yeah. They're not using an actual person that's being reflected. So instead of having someone off in the wings or down below the stage, they actually have a digital projector that hangs above the stage. That contains the performance, the computer program that has the performance on it.
Yeah.
And then they have transparent foil that is stretched top to bottom, left to right.
In the back of the stage or in the front of the stage?
In the very front of the stage, yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's at a 45-degree angle. Huh. Then in front of the stage, so almost as though the stage itself is further out.
Yeah.
They have a reflective surface on the stage.
Oh, I see. Like a little lip.
Yep, exactly. A lip in front of the stage. So that is catching the projector image from above. It shoots down onto the reflective surface and then at a 45-degree angle onto the film. And so that's why Snoop Dogg was able to be behind the film performing with Tupac. Does that make sense?
This is so much more complicated and interesting than I ever imagined it to be. I don't know what I imagined these holograms to consist of, but I thought it was just like a video camera, like a projector and a screen, but it really is so much, there's so much more trickery involved and it makes it really cool.
Yeah, I think I just assumed either they were doing it in camera or that it was just a projector either from behind or in front projecting the image. But it makes sense that they couldn't do that because if someone stands up and gets in the projector's way, now your Aunt Gladys is like moving, trying to go to the bathroom, and she's like moving her shadow directly over Tupac.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's sort of ruining it all.
This would be a great, I wish I was a kid again so I could enter the science fair and do some Pepper's Ghost.
And if you really want to impress people, you can. So what they used to do is, you know, there would be plays where actors would have sword fights with the ghost.
Yeah.
And so they would have to mark out the choreography on the stage floor so that the actor can't see the ghost.
Yeah.
So they have to know that they're moving in the right places so that the audience sees them interacting with the ghost. And so you learn the choreography by marks on the stage and you just make sure you're hitting your mark.
That's amazing muscle memory. That blows my mind because I can't even tell you how many times I have tried to learn the dance moves to No Strings Attached, to Bye 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 in sync. And I can't.
Yeah, you can figure it. Just mark it on the floor, Kathleen, and you too can dance with a ghost.
Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to someone in need.
Bombas designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you cannot wait to put on every day. I'm wearing Bombas socks right now.
Wait, that's really funny because I am also, because it was really cold in my apartment this morning and I was like, I need something that feels like hot chocolate on my feet.
Yeah, I need comfort in the form of a sock. Their socks have like this arch support webbing. It's like a honeycomb shape and it like goes around the arch of your foot and gently hugs it. And it's just like, oh, that little extra support you need. And they don't have any tags and they don't have any seams. So there's nothing to like rub up against your foot and give you calluses over time.
And if you're in the market for something more than just socks, Bombas clothing is made from super soft materials like merino wool and even cashmere for days like today when it's gray and chilly outside. Actually, it's not chilling. It's downright freezing outside.
It's real cold. Yeah. And because socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters, that's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy, like Kathleen said. And so far, Bombas customers like you have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing.
So go to bombas.com/taste and get 20% off of any purchase.
That's BOMBAS.com/taste for 20% off.
Bombas.com/taste. So I have this friend.
Is it you?
No.
Is this one of those things where it's like, I have this friend and she has this pus-filled something or other sticking out of her pant leg and I just don't know what to do about it. What do you think my friend should do?
I'm not asking for a friend, wink, wink. I literally have this friend. She is a publicist.
Okay.
She was telling me yesterday about one of her clients. Bethany, I can't stop laughing about it.
Do publicists not have a HIPAA laws? They're allowed to tell us this stuff?
Okay. No, I mean, yeah, I know. No, I always wonder about that. Does your therapist actually go home and tell their roommate how fucked up you are? But they're just like, I have this client, you know, and they don't give too many details.
I think so. I think they have to.
So my friend is a publicist. She has this client, and the client will not take calls at certain times based on their astrological sign.
Is this client a Scorpio? That sounds like a Scorpio thing.
She couldn't remember what the sign of the client was, but based on like where the moon is and what those clients' astrological sign is, the client will give the team a heads up of when they will not be available to talk or receive information based on like where the moon is at that particular time of day.
What industry does this client work in?
Publishing.
So she's also a publisher. She's an author?
Yeah, the client is an author. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do we know what genre she writes for?
Nonfiction.
That's amazing.
You and I are laughing about this, but honestly, these are the type of boundaries that I would like to set for myself, you know, for others in 2022.
Yeah.
Please do not contact me after 6 p.m. I'm a Pisces. Mm-hmm. Please do not contact me before 10 a.m. I'm a Pisces.
Yeah.
Weekends are totally off limits. Yeah. And any sort of observances like, I don't know, National Soup Day or National Hobby Day, also off limits.
Please do not contact me in March. I'm a fire sign and I am significantly triggered by the wet weather.
It's so confusing and baffling that if you said to a business, someone in business, like, hey, can we not have this meeting on Friday at 4 o'clock? I am an Aquarius and the moon is at a 75 degree angle and it's just not going to be a good time for my brain to be working at that moment. Who's going to fight you on that?
I mean, I think a lot of people are going to fight you on that just behind your back. Look, it's good she's setting those great boundaries.
Yeah.
I think the mistake she's making is telling everyone why. You don't always need to tell everyone why, because what's important to you might not be important to them. And so the error she's making is assuming, like, she's being so far up her own self that she assumes everyone believes in this stuff. You set those boundaries, but you don't need to say why. People can just assume you have like a standing meeting every week at a certain time for something, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you are a Pisces or a Scorpio or whatever.
It's raining outside and I am a fish, so I must not talk on the phone for a business conversation right now. I'm feeling creative.
Gosh, that's like, but also good for her for just being so who she is.
Yeah, right?
I wonder.
I gotta find out what this author wrote and read that book immediately.
Oh, yeah. I need to know. I hope it's in keeping with who she is, but what if it's just like this amazing, what if it's like the Citizen Kane of books, you know, and she's actually like this brilliant author, but is also just kooky as hell.
I think maybe one day that's going to be how people describe you, Bethany. This brilliant actor, this amazing filmmaker, but kooky as hell. Like a touch of Miss Frizzle with a touch of brilliance.
I mean, my goal is to be the person in the neighborhood who the parents don't let their kids go to that house on Halloween because they're like, she's weird. But actually, I'm really nice. And you'll learn to love me when your kid like finds himself in peril and I'm the one who like they see a shadow. Okay, here's what's going to happen, Kathleen.
Yeah,
so your son is being bullied And like this whole group of kids, they push him off his bike and they descend on him. And your kid is like covering his face because he's about to be hit. And then he sees, he feels before he sees, he feels a large shadow looming over him. And then the hit he's expecting doesn't come. And instead he hears screams and kids running away. And then he dares to open his eyes. And this figure is silhouetted by the sun in a long black gown and a corset. And he opens his eyes and he sees it's crazy lady Miss Watson who lives down the way. And I come and I have a crossbow that I've threatened the kids with, and that's made them run away. And then I extend a gloved hand, and the little boy takes my hand, and I help him up, and I say, "Come to," because at this point I'm like in my 80s. "Come to my house, and I'll give you some sustenance." And I bring the little kid to my house, and I give him coffee and scones, and a little bit of marijuana. And the kid,
the best type of sustenance,
totally. And the kid feels so much better, and he goes home to his parents. He's like, "That Miss Watson, she's not so bad." And the parents are like, "Huh, we all learned something today."
And you and this kid, you form a lifelong friendship.
Yeah.
And he later writes a book called Tuesdays with Bibi.
Yeah, exactly. And that kid ends up being, what was that guy's name? Maury Fontaine. What was the guy's name?
You're asking the wrong person. I do not know.
Chad Michael Murray. Tuesdays with Maury, written by Maury Michael Murray.
You know, people truly are afraid of quirkiness, especially in women. I had neighbors who weren't allowed to watch Hocus Pocus growing up because those women were too quirky.
That is the best movie ever. Hashtag virgin.
My neighbor's mother did not like, was it Bette Midler or Sarah Jessica Parker? I don't know. She had like a great disdain for one of those actors, and they were not allowed to watch Hocus Pocus, and it was the talk of the neighborhood.
Wow, that movie was such a good movie, though. I'm all about a black flame candle.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's got a talking cat in it. The cat's actually a boy, and the boy's actually the guy from CSI. It's a thick world.
Thick world. Speaking of thick worlds,
I
heard my mom say something you never want to hear a parent or a grandparent say.
I'm pregnant.
I figured out how to get free gift cards.
Oh, no. No. Kathleen, who'd she give her email to?
I was like, "Mommy, it's a scam." She's like, "My friend Marianne taught me how to get free gift cards." And I'm like, "Mommy, which African prince did you send money to? Tell me you didn't wire anyone any money."
Oh, no.
I'm eating my words because turns out, if you're a retired teacher in New Jersey, Aetna will indeed, like the health insurance company will indeed send you free gift cards. And Bethany, I was wrong about it. She's totally right. And so everything I know in this world has been turned upside down.
Wait, she's a... Why?
I don't know. Aetna, if you're a retired teacher, and it starts like the wheels in my head start turning. How many of us really truly know the ins and outs of our healthcare provider? Because there are free services and like all sorts of shit that I think that you can get. Let's take it one step further. Your credit card provider. Like there's so much free shit and miles and things that people are just ignoring that I think we should really start looking into.
I mean, yeah, miles for sure. Like, you never pay for an air trip again.
No.
If you're doing it right. But why only teachers and they're just the retired ones?
Listen, I'm not asking questions. It's just a reminder to everybody. You might be eligible for free gift cards in literally, metaphorically. You should start looking into some of the services that you have.
I do know that because I'm in SAG-AFTRA, there's like a bunch of things I should be getting percentages off, like movie tickets, but I always forget and don't use them. And I know like a lot of times you can get car insurance. If you rent a car, you can get the insurance through your credit card. Might already have it.
Yeah.
Which can save you money.
You need to get the insurance. If you use your credit card to book that car, then the insurance is already built into your credit card.
Yeah. Like in some cases. And yeah, I traveled home for both Thanksgiving and Christmas on miles.
And I always forget when I'm shopping using my credit card, my United card where I get my miles, if I go to their website first, if I use their links, sometimes like at Macy's or Kohl's or whatever, I'll get 12 times the miles as opposed to just going to Kohl's.com and purchasing it directly through Kohl's. If you just use your credit card shopping link, you get like so many more miles.
I always forget to use their link.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, when I'm about to shop, I'm in a brain fog, a panicked brain fog. I'm high on the excitement of getting ready to shop. I never think, let me log into my credit card page and remember what the hell my password is for this particular one, just so I can go and get something at Kohl's, because it's going to be so cheap because it's at Kohl's. Kohl's is the freaking best.
Bethany, I get so much free stuff from Kohl's Cash. I'll buy an item for $5 on Kohl's, and then 3 days later, hey, you've got $100 from Kohl's Cash in your account. Like, I only spend $5. How do I have $100? And then I end up with a 3-tier appetizer serving set that I got for free.
It's the opposite of Sephora, where for every dollar you spend, it's a point. And then you get 100 points, and you can get a tiny thing of eye concealer for $100?
I am hoarding my Sephora VIB points. I don't know what I'm going to buy, but one day it's going to be a house, hopefully.
No, it will never be a house. Kathleen, if you have 500 VIB points, the equivalent of $500, you can get a full-size moisturizer. It's like, that's $12. I just spent $500 equivalent on this moisturizer from Kate Somerville. You slut. It's not worth it.
I just learned that if you're ever at the Sephora counter and you have enough points and there's an eye cream available, stop what you're doing, snatch up that eye cream, because the eye creams are always, always the first ones to go the products that you're offered.
Because eye creams are expensive. That's probably the only one that's maybe even close to equivalent.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go to Sephora today, so this is top of mind.
I have a friend who told me if she times it right, she never has to buy eye cream because she... because every time she shops at Sephora, she holds off until there's another eye cream, and then she's just using forever tiny samples of eye cream.
And also, sometimes I ask for samples. Like, if I'm running low on something and I have something coming, but I'm not quite going to make it, I'll ask for samples of, like, eye cream, because sometimes if they're nice, they'll give you basically the equivalent of, like, a container of eye cream because it's so small.
No way. Do you ask at the checkout counter or do you ask one of the employees?
I ask one of the employees. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to decide between this one and this one. Can I get a sample? And for eye cream, very little goes a long way. You can sometimes get a pretty nice amount of sample to Sephora.
Bethany, that's genius.
Thank you.
You know, I've been doing the same thing with some of my furniture orders. Every time it's delayed, I email the company and I'm like, I would like a discount for waiting for this item.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll give it to you.
Sometimes you just have to ask. I have this chair, this bundling chair that I got because I had a store credit.
Yeah.
And it took them forever to send it because of COVID. It wasn't even their fault.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're so sorry. We're going to send you this $60 candle that smells like grease. Like the country, not the product.
The country. I got a $300 in-store gift card from West Elm because my couch was delayed like by a couple of weeks. And $300 was a lot. I was able to buy a new lamp with that.
I went to the secondhand the store down the street and I got a free condom with my purchase.
No, you
didn't.
They're free.
Really? They're just sitting out. Yeah.
Oh my God. What are you going to do with that, Bethany?
Fuck.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Bethany,
what did you learn this week?
Okay, I learned this. So I'm painting right now. I'm just painting this shelf. I learned this very handy trick. So if you have a can of paint and you don't want to get paint everywhere, but you still have to dip your brush in it, put a rubber band around the paint can so that it goes over the opening, and then you dip your paintbrush in and then you scrape it off on the rubber band.
Oh.
And so you don't get paint running down the side of the paint can.
Wow.
Yeah. So you stretch the rubber band.
Yeah.
The long way around.
Yeah,
so it
vertically.
Looks like, yeah. So it looks like if you were a tiny tightrope walker, you'd be tightrope walking across the open mouth of the paint.
So, you know, to piggyback off of that paint trick, I also learned that if you're painting something and you feel like maybe there's a texture, your brush is leaving strokes that it shouldn't, you need to do this technique that's called bleeding, where once you wet an area, like say you're painting a wall, don't just paint like one big section of the wall and then move to another section and paint another big section. You have to let it bleed. You always have to touch one wet part of the paint and paint that way instead of painting like random big blotches and then eventually blending it all together.
Oh, that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Is that what you learned this week, or did you learn another thing this week?
Oh, I learned another thing this week.
What's that?
I was the victim of fraud.
Oh no, what happened?
Okay, so it's, Bethany, is like really not a big deal. I'm just being dramatic. Okay. I was at a merge in my car, I was at a merge, and then I felt tap and someone behind me had bumped me.
Okay.
And it's a really busy merge, and I knew that if I was going to like pull over, I was going to start blocking people.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like a whole thing. It was going to be a lot of honking. I tried to pull over best I can. The car that I thought hit me, Bethany, it was a genius. It was this guy, this really attractive guy driving a Tesla. He rolls down his window and he's like, hey, it wasn't me. Even though it was him, it wasn't me. It was the guy behind me that bumped you in the merge, but I'm a witness. So I'm just going to pull over here and I'll be your witness if you need me. And then I pulled over, I got out of my car, and the guy who he told me that bumped me was like, okay, I'm not a part of this, I'm driving away. So I tried to take a picture of the license plate of the guy driving away, and then, but there wasn't really any damage. So then I was like to the other guy, thanks, but no thanks. You know, like, there's no damage, he drove away, you don't need to be my witness. It was the guy in the Tesla who bumped me the whole time. I played it over in my head. I know I wasn't wrong. And if you ever hit somebody, the best way to get out of it is to tell them that it wasn't you, but you'll pull over and be their witness. Because nobody in New Jersey is that nice. Nobody in New Jersey is like, I'm going to take time out of my evening to pull over and be a witness while the cops come, because that's like at least an hour out of your night. Oh, nobody in New Jersey is that nice.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then if you are the person who got hit and the person mm-hmm. volunteers to be your witness, take a picture of their license plate too, mm-hmm. so that when they inevitably drive away, as you're going yeah. to talk to the person you thought hit you, yeah. you will still have evidence of their license plate. So they left the scene of a crime.
Well,
That's insane. And Bethany,
the Tesla was like, I was like, something's fishy. I did take a picture of his license plate, but I waved him along. I was like, oh, it's fine, go. And then I left the scene of a crime. So then I couldn't even contact the cops because I too left the scene of a crime.
Well, I don't think it counts if the crime was committed against you.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
I don't know any of this works. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
I am Web Girl Kathleen on everything. Plus, you and Dennis have a TikTok.
We have a TikTok. We have not posted a damn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You can find us on TikTok. TikTok. You can find us on TikTok. I had Tic Tacs for dinner last night. You can find us on TikTok. BBX Dennis is the name of our TikTok.
And tell us about Dennis's song.
So his first career was as a musician. A lot of people don't know. He toured the world as a musician first.
Yeah.
And
didn't he like open for Offspring or something really
opened,
cool?
Yeah, he opened for, I think, the Offspring and a bunch. Like, he toured with like fucking What's Her Name and then What's Their Names. And
yeah.
he met Blondie and he's hung out with Gwen Stefani. Like, he's just had this crazy life before I ever knew him.
Did he know her when she had braces?
I think it may have been when she had braces. I was so jealous. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyway, he has a new single that he just dropped based on their very real life exorcism of Annalisa Mikkel. The song is called Annalisa M. You can find it on Spotify. Just look up Dennis Callow. It just dropped. It's also on my Instagram, I think. It's very good. It's like very, very catchy. And yeah, it's about this girl who's, is she being haunted and possessed, or is it a mental illness? It's a very fascinating story, and it's an awesome song.
They made a movie about this girl that the song is about, right?
Yeah, so they made a movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah.
And the movie's great, and the real life case is fascinating. Like, the girl ended up dying from the exorcism, and like her priest was brought up on charges of, you know, like screwing her up and starving her and all of this stuff. It's an awful, fascinating story. And yeah, he wrote this like crazy awesome song about it.
Dennis should write a whole album and title it Horror Movies.
I think he's going to do like a 3-song EP, and I want him to call it Songs to Do Your Exorcism To, but I think he probably has a different title in mind. But anyway, I'll link it in the show notes too, his new song.
Thank you. If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
They're amazing. You mm-hmm. can leave us a voicemail, 917-994-0353. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode.
We also have an email address, and that's anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a physical address, An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And this podcast is edited by the ever-talented Dennis Callow, and you can follow him at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. I hope you're having a wonderful day. This is Lauren, Taste Bud from Tampa. I just wanted to call because I had such a great, different, kind of interesting experience on Monday or Tuesday, whatever, earlier this week. So I spoke with someone who's a soul worker. So think like a medium, not necessarily like a psychic, because she doesn't tell you your future. She kind of just speaks to what your soul needs and everything. And so long story short, I walked into this with giving her no information because, you know, I'm still a little skeptical. I've never done anything like this before. And she came to me with so many things, so many different aspects of my life, details that like you wouldn't be able to just guess. My grandfather was talking to her. My grandfather passed over the summer. My grandfather was talking with her, and like she mentioned how he can't wait to be able to be reunited with my grandmother, but she can take her time and like he can't wait to dance with her again. She mentioned things from my father and like just so many other things. And the most crazy part is she keeps like everything she keeps saying, like had she had said to me, keeps coming true. Like she told me that I was going to have something really great happen at work. I was going to come into money somehow, and that's happening. It was such a great experience, and I loved every second of it. I'm definitely going to talk to her again. I highly suggest if anyone's ever intrigued about it, feel free, like, go for it. Just try it. You never know what you're going to get. But that's all. It was just awesome. I really just wanted to tell you guys. Anywho, hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, ladies. It's Taste Buds Liana. I was just catching up on the most recent episode, and Kathleen was talking about her TikTok password, and that got me thinking about a weird password that I had once that I actually loved, and I'm pretty sure I can say this because I don't think I'm using this password for anything right now. So I combined the names of my two favorite authors, Oscar Wilde and Neil Gaiman. So my password for just about everything was Wilde Gaiman, because it sounded like wild gay man, which I just thought was absolutely hysterical. Yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you. And I trust that the Taste Buds won't hack into any of my accounts. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. It's Megan from Wisconsin. Just driving to work this Christmas Eve morning, and I just finished listening to the most recent podcast. And at the end, Bethany had someone named Donovan come to her door, but it was the wrong address. And then you were talking about the name Donovan, and I was really excited because my 9-year-old son is named Donovan. And I think it's just such a cool name. And it's just one of those names that's kind of uncommon, but it's not a weird name. It's just unusual. And I just think it sounds cool, right? Like, I don't know. It can really grow up with you, too. Like, it sounds pretty professional. Just wanted to call and say that made me happy when you were talking about the name. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Holidays. Bye.
Hi, this is your Taste Bud, formerly from the Poconos, now from Central PA, Steph. I am calling because I was listening to the last episode right before Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas, everyone. And I just wanted to say, Kathleen was talking about living like you want someone to read about you in your eulogy. And I thought it was kind of a strange topic at first, but then I realized that I kind of lived this myself this year. Back in the summertime, I moved in permanently with my long-distance boyfriend of 6 years. So then I ended up quitting my full-time teaching job at a place where I really enjoyed. I'd been there for 14 years, but I was kind of in the wings. I'm a music teacher, but I wasn't the chorus director or the band director. And so I just taught general music, and I helped out when needed at concerts and things. And when I quit, I was so amazed by the responses. It was just a really amazing thing. It was, you know, it was kind of like I had died, and everybody was telling me how much they'll miss me. A colleague of mine who I really loved, he told me that he never left a conversation with me without smiling or laughing. A coworker friend of mine who knows I'm very into LGBTQ, she reached out and said that actually her daughter and another of her daughter's friends were so sad that I was leaving because I was such a great advocate for them. And it really made me feel amazing and appreciated, which I didn't always feel there. So if you ever get the chance to do that, I guess what I'm saying is it's a really great experience. And so yes, live like you want your eulogy to be. It's kind of crazy. So I hope everyone is having a fantastic day and a fantastic start to 2022. We love you and we're so happy that you're continuing on with your podcast journey, and have a great one.
Hey ladies, it's your Texas taste bud, Kelsey. I just paused the latest episode and I actually used to work in a hotel at the reception desk, and depending on the length of the stay and any other factors, whether it was a company that wanted to house several people into the room, there can be special rates applied. I remember we had one guest who would stay during the week for college. They gave her the rate that we had for college, and I believe there was an extra discount on it because it was going to be for the entire semester. It just depends on what exactly is going on with it and how much money the hotel is actually going to make out of the deal. So if you're going to be staying for longer periods of time, they're more than likely going to be willing to work with you on that. Anyway, I just wanted to let you ladies know. Have a great day.